I want to ask you a question tonight. Who of you have ever had some great injustice done to you? Just wave at me. Somebody stabbed you in the back. Something was due to you and somebody put a spanner in the works. Things that you don't deserve was heaped on your head. And if you are to be honest about it, it was nothing but a great injustice. Did that have ever happened to you? Has it ever happened to you? Don't even ask. Well, that says a lot. Has it ever happened to you? Let me ask you the question. How did you feel? How did you feel when it happened to you? Say again? Terrible. Upset, frustrated, angry. Sometimes we feel depressed. Sometimes we feel hopeless. We are in despair. It doesn't bring any good feelings or emotions. Is that right? All right. Now, you know what? The Bible actually has quite a bit to say about this thing. And I want to show you tonight that God knows how we feel when we go through these things. Let me start off. I'm going to read you from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 11, and I'm going to read verse 6. 1 Samuel, chapter 11, and I'm going to be reading from verse... Actually, I'm going to read the whole thing. We're going to start at verse 1. Nahash the Ammonite went up, and all of the men of Jabez said to him... he went up and he besieged Jabez Gilead. And all the men of Jabez said to him, "Make a treaty with us, and we will be subject to you." But Nahash the Ammonite replied, "I will make a treaty with you only on the condition that I gouge out the right eye of every one of you, and so bring disgrace on all of Israel." The elders of Jabez said to him, "Give us 7 days so that we can send messengers throughout Israel. If no one comes to rescue us, we will surrender to you." When the messengers came to Gibeah of Saul and reported these terms to the people, they all wept aloud. Just then Saul was returning from the fields behind his oxen, and he asked, "What is wrong with the people? Why are they all weeping?" Then they replied to him, they repeated to him what the men of Jabez had said. When Saul heard these words, the Spirit of God came upon him in power, and he burned with anger. He took a pair of oxen, he cut them into pieces, and he said, sent the pieces by messenger throughout Israel, and he proclaimed, "This is what will be done to the oxen of anyone who does not follow Saul and Samuel." And then the terror of the Lord fell upon the people, and they turned out as one man. When Saul mustered them at Bezek, the men of Israel numbered 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. They told the messengers who had come, "Say to the men of Jabesh Gilead, by the time the sun is hot tomorrow, you will be delivered." Then the messengers went and reported to the men of Jabesh, and they were all elated. They said to the Ammonites, "Tomorrow we will surrender to you, and you can do to us whatever seems good to you." The next day Saul separated his men into three divisions. During the last watch of the night, they broke into the camp of the Ammonites and slaughtered them until the heat of the day. Those who survived were scattered so that no two of them were left standing together. All right, we were talking about injustice. When something is done to you that you don't deserve, when something is done to you that is horrible, horrific, something that is disgraceful, disgusting, and you don't deserve it. Now here we have a story in the Bible of men that came and besieged Israel. And when they were besieging Israel, Israel cried out for mercy. They said, "Please have mercy on us. We want to make a treaty with you. Listen here, we don't want to fight. We know you're bigger than us. We know you're stronger than us. We know that you can sort us all out. We realize that. Let's make a treaty. What would be the terms of your treaty?" And you see, the leader of these men, he was a really vindictive, evil, scaly type of a person. He did not care. He had no mercy. And all he wanted to do was inflict pain. He was a spiteful, hurtful, vengeful individual. And so the terms of his treaty was as follows. He said to them, "Oh, you want to make a treaty with me? The only way that there will ever be any treaty between you and us." Now remember, until there is no treaty, he's going to keep on looting, pillaging, plundering, hurting, raping, killing, and maiming the Israelites because there would be no treaty. He said the only way that you and I can ever enter into any treaty is every single Israelite will have to have their right eye gouged out. Then I will sign a treaty with you. Can you imagine that there are people like that in this world? Well, you see, here's the thing. God did not create people that way, but some people choose to be that way. That doesn't mean that God agrees with what they do. That doesn't mean that God is happy with the way that they treat people. And in fact, you're going to see that God is really angry about this type of thing when it happens. You know, a lot of the times we go through situations and we have this feeling that God doesn't see and God doesn't know and God doesn't realize what we are going through. But if you listen to some of the stories that I'm going to be sharing with you tonight from the Bible, you will realize that God himself hates injustice. And God hates it when people are being unjust towards one another. So this man comes and he says to them, listen, yeah, this is what I want. You all come to me and allow my people to gouge out your right eyes and then we can talk about the terms. That isn't even the treaty. Then they can discuss the terms afterwards. He wanted to humiliate them. He wanted to hurt them. He wanted to destroy their self-image. He wanted to break their spirits. Some of you are sitting here and you know people like that. Some of you sit here and you have been treated that way. No, they didn't cut your eye out or something like that. But they made a point of humiliating you in front of people, walking over you and breaking down your self-esteem. Just raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. You knew people like that. Somebody has treated you in that way. Now, here's the thing. The people heard this and the elders of Israel got together and they said, listen, yeah, what are we going to do? You know, there's no way that we can oppose this man. We also can't allow this man to just continue destroying our country. Somewhere along the line, we're going to have to do something. So here's what we're going to answer him. He must give us 7 days. You know, this is a big thing. We all have to hand out our right eyes to him. He must give us 7 days. In 7 days, we're going to go across this country and we're going to pray. We're going to call on God and we're going to look for somebody that maybe God can raise up somebody that can help us, that can deliver us. I don't know if they had much hope. Maybe they were just trying to buy time. I can't say because I wasn't there when this happened, but I can only put myself in that position. You try anything that you can. And let me tell you something, God had a plan. Because when it comes to these things, don't you think that God takes it lying down? Please look at your neighbor and say, you are a child of God. And you matter to God. And just like, you know what? I think everybody that's in this place that has children, you would be able to relate to this. You know, sometimes people can do something to you and you'll sort of turn the other cheek. They can walk over you and you'll sort of bend a little bit here and bend a little bit there. But if they touch your children, ooh, now you've gone too far. Now you've just lit a very short fuse and you must be prepared for what's coming for you. I want you to realize something. God feels the same way about you. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, when people hurt you, they step on God's toes. So I want to say something to you. You better watch what you say about me. Because the one up there likes me. Amen. Amen. But don't worry, because he likes you too. So I'll watch what I say about you. Amen. So the word begins to spread. All of Israel hears about this great calamity that is on its way. They hear about this great injustice. And I can tell you, everybody is falling apart. And there was a man by the name of Saul. At this point in time, Saul hadn't really featured yet. He was just a man plowing his oxen. And because he was plowing his oxen, he didn't hear. You know, he was out there in the fields. He was busy working. So when he got back to the house, everybody was falling apart and everybody was crying and he didn't understand what was going on. So he questioned them. He said, what is so terrible that everybody has to be falling apart here? And then they spoke to him and they said, this is what's happening. These people have come, they have besieged us, they have walked over us, they've done all these horrible atrocities to us, and now they expect us to give our right eyes if we want some semblance of a treaty or peace. And you know, Saul was listening, and as he was listening, something began to happen, something completely supernatural. Here's one of the attributes of the Holy Spirit that most of you probably did not know he had. When we think of the Holy Spirit coming upon somebody, we think of the Spirit of God came upon them and they prophesied. Because there are many accounts in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament when the Spirit of God came upon people and they began to speak the Word of God. They prophesied. But on this occasion, To prophesy wouldn't have changed much. Something else was needed. Look at your neighbor and say, it was time to get angry. You know, there's only one correct way to react to injustice, and that is with anger. The Spirit of God came upon Saul, and the first thing that happened was Saul became violently, absolutely, phenomenally angry. He blew his gasket. Hello? He blew his gasket. And you know what? What happened next, some of us might think to ourselves, well, listen, yeah, the oak is like crazy. He's loony. No, he wasn't. Because this was time for action. And it was action driven by the fire of anger. But the fire of anger did not come from his heart. It did not come from his mind. It came from the power of the Holy Spirit that was upon him. Let me read you that scripture again. When Saul heard their words, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power to empower him to get angry and do something about it. Don't you think when people treat you with disdain, when people treat you in an unjust way, when people walk over you, when they slander your name, when they do things to you that is horrible and ridiculous, that God just like, oh, well, you know what? No, God hates it just as much as you. Probably he hates it even more than you because you are his child. And when people touch you, they touch him. And so the anger of God began to burn inside of this man. You know what he did? He went out, he took an ox and he cut it in half. He put it on a trolley and he said, you go throughout the entire Israel and you say to the people, anybody who refuses to get angry at what these people are doing to us, the same will be done to your oxen. It's time for action. The Lord has spoken. We will not take this lying down. Today we fight back. Amen. Amen. Well, I like that. Are you back? I like that. Well, bless y'all. Come on and give the Lord a big hand. Now, I want to show you something interesting. The day the Israelites heard that they had to sacrifice their right eyes, the people were all falling apart. Everybody was crying. Everybody was weeping. It was like, oh, woe is me. You know, nobody had an answer. But God had an answer. The power of the Holy Spirit was about to be poured out in a way that we did not. You know, we often think of the Holy Spirit as a gentleman. You know, it's often said the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He is the Spirit of peace and, you know what, all that type of stuff. But let me tell you something. There is another side to the Holy Spirit that is just as necessary as peace. We all want peace, but sometimes until you haven't made war, don't expect peace. Because you got some devil working in your life. You got some stupid person messing you around. Sometimes until you don't take action, the peace cannot come. It's like when there is a thief that keeps stealing from you. Until that thief isn't put in his place, you're never going to have the blessings of God that was promised to you. And God wants us to take action and God wants us to put our foot down and God wants us to take that step to sorting the problem. And when the Holy Spirit comes, sometimes he comes to empower us to fight. And I want you to listen. The words that Saul spoke when he said, anybody that refuses to fight, this will happen to you, also came by the Holy Spirit because he was under the power of the Holy Spirit when he spoke those words. When it's time to fight, God wants you to fight. There are many times when you can have peace, but when somebody comes to take your right eye and belittle you, it's time to fight. And the Holy Spirit worked in him to raise him to fight. Now, Israel is falling apart because somebody's going to do this to them and they've got no hope and they're going to be slaves for the rest of their life. Even if their right eye is taken, they're still going to be subject to these people because now they have to make the treaty and then they have to honor whatever they have to write down and they don't even know what the terms of the treaty is going to be. They had no hope. But I want to show you that in one day everything changed when the Spirit of God moved in anger. Saul prophesied and he said, go back and say to the people, by tomorrow, noonday, you will be delivered. There can sometimes not be deliverance until the Spirit of God moves in anger. And there are many of you sitting here right now, you are stuck in a pit, you are stuck in a rut because the Spirit of God has not moved in your life in anger. You know, when we're confronted with something evil, something vile, something spiteful, something hateful, something hurtful, you know, all of that type of stuff. There's a lot of ways that you can react. Some people try and make peace with it. Oh, you know what? That's just my lot in life. No, it's not. I've just shown you that the Spirit of God hates it when we get treated that way. The Spirit of God hates it when people walk over us. Listen to me. The Bible says the following. We will trample on the serpent and on the scorpion and over all the power of the evil one. The Bible never says, let them walk over you. Do you hear what I'm saying? No devil is supposed to walk over you. The Bible says you're supposed to walk over them. When we try and make peace with the devils in our life, they are the ones that laugh at us. Because we are contrary to where God wants us to be. And that is why one of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit is to bring about a righteous anger about the situation, to put your foot down and do something about it. Listen, y'all, we are not supposed to, according to God's word, let the enemy walk over us. We walk over them. And sometimes it's time to fight. The problem that we have today is Christians don't want to fight. You know, we believe some funny gospel that because Jesus died on the cross, everything is sorted out and now everything must just be okay. Well, look at your life. Is everything okay? Probably not. Why? Because in some areas of your life, it's time to get angry. Put your foot down and sort out whatever Jojo is giving you a hard time. It's not right to let the devil walk over you. And the devil will use people. Because people are easy to be used. Because a lot of people, just like this man, they are full of anger, they are full of hatred, they are full of bitterness, they are full of spitefulness. That doesn't matter. It's still time to put your foot down and wage war. Because until you don't wage war, you can't reap the benefits of peace. And let me tell you something. God wants us to have peace. But until we don't do what He expects us to do, it's not going to change. When that word was spoken, after the Spirit of God came and the emotion of anger rised up inside of Saul, the prophecy came. Then it was time to prophesy. There will be liberation. There will be victory. You know, today we all want the prophecy, everything's going to be fine. But sometimes you also have to do something to get to the place that you receive that prophecy. He prophesied after the Spirit of God came, after he took a step and after he said, nobody's going to mess with me anymore. Nobody's going to walk over me again. Today I put my foot down. How many demons have you got in your life right now that are walking over you? Some low self-esteem, some fear, some fright, some terror, some depression. Please don't make peace with them, because then you're going to be like the Israelites. You will have to sign a treaty with something that will rob you for the rest of your life. That will walk over you, that will belittle you. That will break down your spirit. What God wants you to do is get angry and say, enough is enough. Please look at your neighbor and say, enough is enough. Enough is enough. When the Spirit of God came upon Saul, he was driven by anger to destroy the Ammonites. And the anger that burnt inside of him, and you know what? This is something that a lot of people find difficult to understand. It wasn't his anger. It was God's anger. He felt the heart of God about this situation. Don't you think for one second that there are not times in your life that God has got very angry about what was done to you? Because God hates injustice. And I'm going to show you that later. God hates injustice. And woe to you if you are the one that is treating other people in an unjust way. Because you will provoke the anger of God against you. And let me tell you something. You will not have it well. Problems are coming your way in a big, big, big way. God hates injustice. 1 Samuel 11 verse 9. They told the messengers who had come, say to the men of Jabesh-Gilead, by the time the sun is hot tomorrow, you will be delivered. As I said to you, those words were also not spoken by Saul, because at that moment he was under the power of the Holy Spirit, and everything that came out of his mouth was the Spirit of God speaking. But once the anger of God begins to burn against injustice, then you know deliverance is going to come. You know, when there is injustice, sometimes it's not right to go and sit in the corner and cry. Because that's not the emotion God wants. God does want that anger. God wants you to get angry about the situation. He wants you to take authority over that situation. He wants you to put your foot down. And He expects you to start walking over the evil one. Don't let the devil get away with murder. Sometimes we want to give up. Some people curse God. Some people run away. Some people cry. We feel hopeless. We get depressed. But the Holy Spirit gets angry. And when we get to the place where the Holy Spirit is, when we begin to walk in sync with the Holy Spirit, we will get the same result that Saul had, that Israel had. In one day, they were delivered. I want to speak to you directly about your life. There's some of you sitting here for a long, long time. Certain things have been walking over you. Maybe your family has been rejecting you, or you were treated as the black sheep. Now, I don't expect you to go and punch your father in the face or do something stupid. Hello? But I want you to understand that there is a spirit behind it, the spirit of injustice. And that thing is having a field day with you. If you want something to change in the natural, you have to change it in the spirit first. You know, a lot of people are controlled by demons and evil spirits. And that is why they are evil and mean and vindictive, etc., etc., etc. And the devil uses people because people like to be used by the devil. Because people's hearts are evil and they have turned away from God. But if you want something to change in the natural, you have to first sort it out in the spirit world. Because in the spirit world, if it didn't change, don't expect it to change in the natural. Just like Saul had to mobilize the armies of Israel, put his foot down and say, no, we fight back. So sometimes we have to. And let me tell you something, because the Spirit of God came upon him, because he was equipped by the Spirit of God, because the anger of God began to move him, he had victory over an army that was much more powerful than him. Sometimes in our life, it's exactly the same. You know, let's say you got some family curse in your life. Let's say there's this curse that in your family, we never really have peace. We always have turmoil. We always have problems. Nothing ever works out for us nicely. We start something, it's doomed for failure. You know, that's just the way it is. My grandfather was like that. My father was like that. My brother is like that. And I'm like that. And I'm just never going to get anywhere. Rubbish. Says who? That's a lie from the pit of hell. But if you don't rise up against it, if you don't get angry about the situation and choose to start doing something about it, then that will be your lot in life. But that's not God's will for you. That's not where God wants you to be. God wants you to be liberated. God wants you to be set free. I want to show you another example of how the Holy Spirit comes upon individuals. We're going to go to the book of Judges, chapter 14. It's quite a long piece, but I'm going to read you just portions of it. We all know this man. He's known as the strongest man that ever lived, and his name was Samson. Here's a bit of Samson's history. Samson went down to Timnah, and there he saw a young Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, "I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as a wife." His father and mother replied, "Isn't there an acceptable woman amongst your relatives or amongst our people? Must you go with that uncircumcised Philistine to get a wife?" But Samson said to his father, "Get her for me, for she is the right one for me." Okay. Samson is walking in Philistine territory. It is actually forbidden for him to take a Philistine woman to be his wife. Because when the Israelites came to the promised land, which is the area where the Philistines also lived, God gave a decree and God said, you will not marry with the people there. You will not take their women as your wives because they will lead you from the path and they will bring destruction. And it will curse you if you do this. Samson walks and he sees this woman and something about her attracts him to the point that without knowing her, without having had any relations with her, he makes a decision. He says, "I want to marry that woman." So when he comes back, he says to his father, "I have met my potential wife or my future wife. This is what I want you to do. Go and make negotiations with her parents. I want to marry that woman." And of course, his parents freak out. "Oh, what are you talking about? You can't marry this woman. It's against our principles. Look for somebody in our people." But he's adamant. "I want that woman." Now I want to show you something else. The very next verse, verse 4. His parents did not know that this was from the Lord, who was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines, for at that time they were ruling over Israel. Oh, now listen to this. God had decided that the injustices that the Philistines were perpetrating against Israel was enough. It was time to put these people in their place. And the only way to put them in their place was there was going to have to be some kind of a confrontation. When Samson suddenly felt the urge to be with that woman, It came about by the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you might think to yourself, but that's just crazy. No, it's not. No man can tell God what to do or how to do it. The ways of God are strange and weird. But let me tell you something. They work. And God doesn't have to work the way you think. He works the way He understands. When God looks at a situation, He sees it completely different from the way we do. When we look, we see on this level. When God looks, He looks from above. He sees the full picture. He sees a much bigger picture than us. And sometimes we fight with God when He wants to do something. Look at Samson's parents. They were like, no, you can't do this. And Samson was like, but I want to do it. No, he wasn't being rebellious. He was being moved by the finger of God. Why? Because it was time for a fight. And Samson was going to be the man to start that fight. I know that's a bit strange and a bit weird. But sometimes fighting is the only way to go. And it was time. Now listen to this. Samson went down to Timnah, together with his father and his mother. As they approached the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came towards him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power, so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands, as he might have torn apart a young goat. Now, this is not something that I can prove to you, but there are two lions in the Bible. One is the Lion of Judah, and the other one is the roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Satan loves injustice. Do you understand what I'm talking about? When somebody is picking on you all the time, bullying you, making fun of you, degrading you, belittling you, bringing destruction into your life, Satan has a field day. Because the emotions that come into your life is bitterness and anger and rage and frustration and depression and anxiety and fear and fright and terror. All the things that will make you a very maladjusted adult one day. Hello? And Satan loves that. Because it gives him a lot of things that he can use against you. One day when you want to start serving God, you suddenly realize, but you know what, I'm full of rejection, I'm full of fear, and you know, this is not for me. The Spirit of God has come upon Samson. God has a plan to liberate the Israelites. He's going to use Samson to do that. It was time to teach these people a lesson. Don't you think that the devil doesn't know what's happening? Because he does. Because in the spirit world, things are beginning to fall into place. The Spirit of God is beginning to move. He might not know exactly where it's going, but the devil knows he has a problem. As they are on their way, now the devil probably doesn't know exactly what's going on, but he knows this Samson Oak, there's a problem here. I can smell it a mile away. This man means problems. Suddenly a lion comes to devour him and his family. What happens? The Spirit of the Lord comes upon him in power. The same Spirit that was upon him to make him feel attracted to this woman. Because God's got a bigger plan. He's empowered by the Holy Spirit. He receives the strength of 100 men. He tears the lion limb from limb. Because God's plan must be fulfilled. Do you hear what I'm saying? You are in a place right now where you're on your way somewhere, and every now and then the devil tries to put a spanner in the works. But I want to tell you something. God knows what the devil is thinking before the devil even thinks it. God knows what the devil wants to do before the devil even plans to do it. And when you walk with God and you walk in the Spirit of God, whatever you need, whenever you need it, God will equip you to give you victory, because God wants to take you forward and not backwards. God wants you to be the head and not the tail. Do you hear me? He tore that lion to pieces like it was a rag doll. I wish I was there to see his mom and dad's face when that happened. That was like a, what? There goes Samson. Then something interesting happens. Let's look at this. Judges, chapter 14. Samson wants to marry this woman. He makes his intentions clear. And then something happens, and her father turns around, and instead of giving her to him, her father gives her to one of Samson's friends as a wife. Now remember, the Spirit of God is working here, and he wants a problem. He wants to create a conflict, because it's time for these people to be taught a lesson. Now, I don't have time to read all of this. You can go there and you can go and read it. But here's what happened. Samson, when he finds out that this man gave his wife to another person, he loses it. He goes and he catches a bunch of foxes. He ties their tails together. He puts fire between their tails and he chases them into the cornfields and the maize and all of that type of stuff. He burns down all their fields, which now provokes them. They come against him. To make a long story short, in the end, a couple of thousand Philistines are killed by Samson. And let me show you what happened. In the book of... Yeah, this was actually done by the Holy Spirit. But don't you go and be all destructive and say the Spirit of God made me do it, because I'm telling you now, you probably lost the plot somewhere, okay? This is only good when the Holy Spirit moves you to do that. Yeah, but Rian, you don't understand. I had to slash that tire. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Go sit and pray and make sure. There's a difference between your anger and God's anger. When God does it, it's a good thing. When you do it, it's probably not good. Listen to this. Should your wife be listening? Yes, she should be listening. She should. Judges chapter 14, verse 19. Oh, actually, there was something else that happened in between. Samson gives a bunch of Philistines a riddle about this lion. They don't know exactly what it's about, but he gives them this riddle. They came and they were wara-waraing with him, looking for trouble. And he said, okay, here's a riddle. If you can solve this riddle, I will give you 30 pairs of clothing. If you can't solve the riddle, you give me 30 pairs of clothing. Fine, they accept the challenge. They have like a week or something to come up with the answer. In the meantime, they go to the woman that he's courting now. She's not really his wife yet, but he's courting her. They go to her and they say, listen, yeah, what's the story here? You better find out what's the story here, because if you don't find out, we're going to come and destroy your house and we're going to come and destroy everything that you have. Do you hear the word injustice there? Right. Which is exactly what God wants, because when injustice comes, the Spirit of God begins to move. And God is looking for a reason to give these people a hiding. So this is what happens. This woman keeps on, oh, please tell me what it is. What is the riddle? How can you not tell me what the riddle is? And he didn't want to tell her. He said to her, even my parents don't know what the riddle means. Why should I tell you? But she kept on and on and on, and eventually he told her. So she told them. Then they come to Samson on the day that they're supposed to produce the answer, and they tell him exactly what the riddle means. And then he realizes, I've been had. She told you all of it. And then this is what happens. Verse 19, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power, and he went down to Ashkelon, struck down 30 of their men, stripped them of all their belongings, and gave their clothes to those who had explained the riddle. Burning with anger, he went up to his father's house. What happened to him because of the injustice that was done? He began to burn with anger. Where did the anger come from? The Spirit of God came upon him in power, and the power began to move him with anger. He was not going to take this. You know what? It was time for him to put his foot down. How did he put his foot down? He killed 30 men. You know, for you and I, that's murder. For God, in this case, that was justice. I know that's weird. But sometimes the way God moves and the way we move is completely different. And it's God's right to do that. You know, doesn't the Bible say what you sow, you will reap? Sometimes the way people reap is by death and destruction. And sometimes it comes from God, because that's the way for things to be sorted out. And then the second part happened that I was explaining to you. In the book of Judges, chapter 14, verse 19. They go up to the supposed father-in-law and this woman. And you know what they do? They murder them. The Philistines murder them because of what Samson had done. And then there's this whole thing with they do something, Samson does something, and every time Samson is moved by the Holy Spirit, more and more Philistines die. Then it gets to a place where the Philistines, they're now looking for Samson. They begin to besiege Judah. And they cause problems everywhere. They beat up people. They mutilate people, all to try and draw out Samson. Now, you might think that this is a bit weird, but that's exactly what God wanted, because it was time to sort them all out. This is what happened. Then the Spirit of God came upon him in power. He went down, and I've already read that. Where is it? Judges 15:14. They were all encamped in a place called Lehi. As he approached Lehi, the Philistines came towards him shouting. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. The ropes on his arms became like charred flax, and the bindings dropped from his hands. Finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and he struck down 1,000 men. The reason that his hands were tied, the Israelites tied him up, because the Israelites begged him and said, listen, yeah, please, as long as we have you here, we are suffering. These people are killing us, they are maiming us, they are doing indescribable, unspeakable things to us. Please, just let us hand you over to them. He said, fine, hand me over to them. And as he was walking towards them, the Philistines, the power of God came upon him. The Bible says that the ropes that the Israelites had tied him with, they became like flax. In other words, they were like, it was like breaking a little piece of cotton. The chains fell from him, and the anger of God began to rage inside of him. That day, 1,000 Philistines died. Let me ask you a question. Does God like injustice? No. How does God respond to injustice? With anger. And you better be careful, because after the anger, it seems that there's a lot of violence. But sometimes that's the only way to deal with the rubbish. Amen? Now, let me show you something else. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, we find the following. Acquitting the guilty and condemning the innocent, the Lord detests them both. Acquitting the guilty and condemning the innocent. When you acquit the guilty, it's an injustice. When you condemn the innocent, it's an injustice. What does the Bible say? The Lord detests them both. Proverbs 20, verse 20. Differing weights and differing measures, the Lord detests them both. In other words, it's talking about a guy, let's say in a shop, and he's got weights that should tell you what you're supposed to pay, but he's doctored these weights, and it's sort of like he's making you pay more than what you thought. Or somebody is supposed to measure up something to charge you, but he's doctored his measuring tape or something, and he's charging you more than you're supposed to. The Bible says God detests that. What am I trying to show you? I'm trying to show you that, you know what, sometimes people do things to us and they think they're going to get away with it. I want to warn you, nobody gets away with nothing. Because the Lord sees everything, the Lord knows everything, and he detests it. And when the time is right, injustice will be sorted out God's way. And then the pawpaw is going to hit the fan, and that's when a lot of people start crying and falling apart. Oh, what have I done to deserve this? Think of all the people that you've treated with injustice. Think of all the people whose reputations you ruined by spreading lies about them. Think of all the people that are still walking around with hurt because of how you treated them in front of other people. Listen to me carefully. God hates injustice. In the book of James, chapter 5, verse 4. Sorry. Sometimes we think, you know, I went through this terrible thing. God didn't see it. God hasn't done anything about it. I want to show you that you're wrong. James chapter 5 verse 4. He says, look, the wages you have failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields is crying out against you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord God Almighty. When we treat people, or when people treat you with injustice, that injustice begins to cry out to God. It keeps crying and crying and crying until God hears. And when God hears, as we have seen, big problems are coming. I want to speak to you today. I know that there's a lot of people sitting here. You've been suffering under unspeakable injustice for a long time. The devil's been busy in your life. People have been treating you unkindly, unfairly. Some of you, maybe this was speaking to you, some of you financially have been ill-treated. You were promised certain things, and then when you deliver, people didn't deliver to you. that's injustice. God hates injustice. And I want you to hear something. You don't actually have to do that much, because the moment injustice is perpetrated, something begins to cry out to God. That's the way the kingdom of God works. And it's going to cry out to God until he hears. This is what he says. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord God Almighty. When you lie at night and you cry in your pillow, your tears go up to God. Don't you think that God doesn't see the hurt in your heart? Don't you think that God doesn't see the pain, the suffering? Don't you think that God doesn't see the trauma that you went through? Because he does. And when these things happen, it reaches the heart of God very, very quickly. And God will move into action. Let me show you. Psalm 12, verse 5. Because of the oppression of the weak and the groaning of the needy. Did you hear that? Because of the oppression. What is it when somebody is oppressed? It's when somebody comes that for some reason has more power than that person, and you have your way with them. You treat them like dirt. You use them as slaves. You abuse them. You belittle them. You do whatever you want to hurt them and destroy their life. That is called oppression. Because of the oppression of the weak and the groaning of the needy, I will arise. I will now arise, says the Lord. I will protect them from those who malign them. And the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver refined in a furnace of clay. What does the Bible say will God do when we are oppressed by people? I will arise, says the Lord. The Holy Spirit wants to bring about change in your life. But it's time for you to stop trying to make peace with all these things going on in your life. It's time for you to get angry. No, I didn't say it's time for you to buy a gun and go and shoot people, because that's just crazy and stupid. But it's time for you to get angry. Because until you don't get angry about this and decide to put your foot down, sometimes the Holy Spirit also can't work in your life. And let me tell you something. God is not happy with the way that people are treating you. God is not happy with the circumstances in your life right now. God wants to bring about change. I believe that tonight, the Holy Spirit is going to move in this place. Tonight, I believe that the fire of God is going to start burning against injustice. Many of you are sitting here and you are bound by the spirit of injustice because of what people said, because of what people did, because of what people didn't do, because of good work that you did and then people refused to pay you, because of so many things that have happened in your life. Some of you know what it's like to lie on your pillow at night and you cry yourself to sleep. And maybe the devil comes and he chitty-chitties in your ear and he says, ah, you know what, you're wasting your time. God doesn't hear. God doesn't listen. No, he does. But you can't make peace with that devil in your life. And it's no use. You know what? A lot of people, when we go through something that's like a great injustice, the first thing we want to do is start screaming and shouting at God. Listen to me, he didn't make that person do that. Here's something that you have to understand. People have a will of their own, and sometimes they choose through a decision of their will to be evil, to be spiteful, to be ugly, to be horrible. That's not God's fault. He didn't make them that way. They chose to become that way sometimes because of circumstances that they went through. And we should learn from that. When you go through difficult times, don't take it out on other people. It's not their fault. But we can fight back. And we can change circumstances. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, it's time to fight. It's time to get angry. Tonight, if you are suffering from injustice, you're going to get angry and put your foot down. Because once you allow that anger to come, not directed against God, not necessarily even directed against a person, but against the spirit that is trying to destroy you through that person, then things are going to begin to change. Because deliverance comes after the spirit of anger moves. And I'm not talking about the demon of anger. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit moving in anger against the works of darkness. You've probably heard me say this before, but I want to say it to you again. One of the titles of the Holy Spirit is Ruach. It's one of his names in the Old Testament. One of the names, the titles of the Holy Spirit. And the word Ruach actually has quite a few different meanings. But when it is used of the Holy Spirit sometimes, It's literally translated as the warlike energy of God. And you could see that when the Spirit of God came upon Saul, what did Saul do? He went to war. When the Spirit of God came upon Samson, what did he do? He went to war. There's a couple of other examples in the Bible as well. I didn't have time to write them all down. But when the Spirit of God comes upon people and there is injustice and it needs to change, the Spirit of God imparts a warlike energy upon us. And did you see what happened to Samson's hands that were bound when the Spirit of God came upon him? His hands broke free. What happened to his feet? The chains around his feet broke free. There are some of you here tonight, listen to me carefully. The reason why you are going nowhere in life is because just like Samson, you are bound by the injustice that has followed you your whole life. Until the anger of God doesn't start burning, the fire of God doesn't start burning in you, you can't get rid of the ropes, you can't get rid of the chains. But if you choose tonight to not get angry at God, to stop being angry at people and be angry with yourself and be bitter and all of that type of stuff, but get angry and get angry at this injustice. If you choose tonight to put your foot down and say, tonight, I'm going to kick some butt. Devil, I'm kicking you out of my life. You're not walking over me anymore from tonight. I will walk over you. Listen to me. Give the Lord a hand. It was to you that God spoke, that he said, I have called you to walk on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the evil one, and nothing will by any means hurt you. Come on. God never called you to be the devil's doormat. God never called you to be stuck. Samson was tied. His hands and feet were tied. A lot of people today are exactly the same boat as him. You feel that your life is going nowhere. You feel that you can't achieve anything. That's why. Because the spirit of injustice, the things that people have done to you, the things that people have spoken about you, there's been so much of it that it's actually tied you. The devil has bound you. When the spirit of anger, the Holy Spirit's anger comes upon you, just like Samson, your hands will come free. Your feet will come free. Now, when your hands are free, you can do things. When your feet are free, you can move forward. Some of you, you've been trying to do things for years. Let's just throw something out there. Business-wise, you're trying things. You're trying new things. You expect things to work, but it's like your hands are tied. They can be untied. A lot of you, you've got plans for the future. You see this vision. You're trying to get there, but you fall short every time because your feet are tied. It's time for it to go. Some of you have heard me share this, but probably this is a good time for me to share this testimony again. Many years ago, I went to go and pray for a woman. She was going to be admitted to an asylum in the week. And her pastor phoned me and asked if I could go and pray for her because he believed that she had demonic problems and he wanted me to go. He didn't deal with deliverance really. And he wanted me to go and pray for her to see whether she has some demonic problems. And if so, then maybe hopefully God can sort it out. I agreed. We went there that night to go and pray for that woman. And she was actually in her room. She was sitting on the bed. And when I walked in there, she had this dazed look. She didn't really respond very much to any of the questions that I asked. And when she did respond to the questions, she looked like she was tranquilized. She looked like she was drugged. Actually, sorry, she wasn't sitting on the bed. She came and sat on the bed later, but when I got there, her husband pointed towards the room, and he said that she's in there. I went into the room with the pastor, and we saw nobody, but there was also an ensuite bathroom, so obviously she must be in there. Now, of course, we're not going to venture in there because we don't know what's going on. I wait in the room, and I call out to the woman. Do you know what I saw? When she eventually came walking into the bedroom, this is the way she walked. She was all bent down and she walked like this. She was like shuffling. And we're not talking about an old woman. We're talking about a woman probably in her 50s. She was still young. She was just shuffling like this. She looked like she was 90 years old. She looked like she needed a cane to get going. Actually, she looked like she needed a walker. And she walked slowly and with a lot of effort. I spoke to her about a couple of things. I asked her some questions. Even when she spoke slowly, as if she was battling. Turns out she did have a couple of chochos, quite a few. She was bound by spirits. Her problem was unforgiveness. Not towards other people, but towards herself. She had done something when she was a lot younger. And you know, the funny thing is, when you do things when you're younger, you've got a life to live. You're busy. You're out there. You're having fun. These things don't tend to affect you that much. But the older you get, the more you sit still. The more you sit still, the more you think. The more you think, the more it affects you. And eventually it got to the point that it was consuming her entire life. And she couldn't forgive her for what she did, couldn't forgive herself for what she did when she was young. Took me a long time to get her to the point that she was willing to forgive herself. I asked her to stand up. She stood up. She came to a place where she would forgive herself. I prayed with her. She forgave herself. In a second, her feet were set free. She started walking normally. That was one of the practical ways that God showed me what the devil can do to people if you allow him to bind you. A lot of you are in the same situation. You might not, like that woman, physically manifest it, but your life manifests it because you go nowhere. You try all sorts of things, but nothing ever happens for you. You don't seem to get the breakthroughs that you want. Well, all of that can change. What we need is for you to get angry. Not at God, not at yourself. Please, not at me. Get angry at the situation that you're in, the spirits that are trying to tie you up. Get angry and sort the situation out. Allow the Holy Spirit to come upon you in power, and allow the anger of the Holy Spirit to work through you. Put your foot down and see how these things begin to break. Your arms will get free. You'll start getting things done. Your legs will become free. You'll start moving forward. This is not my word for you. This is the word of God for you. God hates injustice. He hates what's going on in your life right now. He hates the way people treat you. He hates the lies that surround you. He hates the backstabbing. He hates the jealousy. Let me tell you something. One of the most powerful spirits right now is the spirit of jealousy. A lot of people are bound because other people don't want them to go forward because they don't want you to have more than what they have. And don't you think for one second that the devil doesn't use that. Think back to the story of Saul and David. When David was ministering to Saul and the evil spirit came and touched Saul, he would take the javelin and throw it at him. What was the main spirit working in Saul's life? It was called jealousy. He was jealous of David. If it worked that way with Saul, it still works that way with everybody that allows jealousy into their life. And today, we might not be throwing a physical javelin, but every time you are jealous towards somebody else, your spirit is tormenting that person. You are throwing the javelins of jealousy towards that person. And sometimes that's one of the reasons why an individual can't go forward, because you've got so many things piercing you because of other people's jealousy that you can't seem to go. But that's an injustice because you don't deserve it. Listen, yeah, if God chooses to bless me with a new car, does it have anything to do with you or with you or with you? Then why is it such a big deal to everybody? Huh? Or if I choose to wear Nike tackies, has it got anything to do with you? Well, I see you got a nice jacket on. It has nothing to do with me either. You actually look quite nice in it. You wear it well. But you see, some people are not. People can be so mean. People can be so vindictive. People can be so spiteful. Then you walk into the room, you got something new on, you turn your back and it's like, yeah. We have to just quickly stab them in the back. But let me tell you something. If God hates the injustice that people do to you, He also hates the injustice that you do towards other people. And sometimes that's why we suffer, because the anger of God is burning against us. This message goes both ways. If tonight the Lord is speaking to you about your attitude and your heart towards other people, you better sort it out. Because just like the Philistines got destroyed and the Ammonites got destroyed because of injustice, so destruction will come into your life if you are being unjust towards other people. Let's take the spirit of jealousy, for example. I don't know, I can't see your heart, but God does and the devil does. And if you're sitting with that thing and you like to put fat on the fire, you like to put some petrol there, you like to chitty-chitty about people, instead of being happy for people, you get angry when they get blessed, or you got problems. And let me tell you something, you yourself won't go anywhere. Let's talk about something else. If I come to you and I say to you, oh, listen, did you hear that so-and-so did this and this and this and this? What should we do? You stop the person right there and you say, listen, you know what? I don't know whether it's like that or not like that, but I don't want to entertain situations like that. You have a problem with that person, please go and talk to them about it, not me. Look at me. You are not somebody else's dustbin. Don't let them dump all their rubbish in your heart and in your life, because it's going to start weighing you down and your life will go nowhere. Don't talk about people if you don't know what you're talking about, because sometimes you are the one spreading lies about that person. And you might not even know that it's lies. You're just like, oh, okay, Sonny told me that. Sonny's probably lying. You might not know it, but she might have an issue with Kwesi, and now she's spreading lies about him, and you just spreading it yourself. You're getting into hot water, and you don't even know it. If you don't know that something is true, don't repeat it. And if you can see that somebody is like really angry with that person, and they just want to, you stop them and you say, hey, listen, yeah, I'm not your dustbin. You want to be upset with me, fine, but I don't want to hear this stuff. Please just move on. Because if you allow that stuff to come, and you repeat that stuff, then you are perpetrating injustice against them. And you saw what happens and how God feels about injustice. You're going to get a hiding. Raise your hands if you like getting a hiding. I'm sitting on my hands right now. Not raising nothing. No, I don't like it. I don't want it, and I'm sure you don't want it either. But we have to be open and honest about these things. Sometimes we are our own worst enemy because we keep doing things that we're not supposed to do. Here's what I'm going to be praying about tonight. The Lord gave me a word that the Spirit of God is going to move and that people are going to be set free and liberated from injustice. And I'm sure that that means you. Because I don't think there's one person here tonight that has not undergone some kind of injustice. And some of you are still stuck right in all of that stuff. God wants to set you free. It's time for the Holy Spirit to move in anger. And when that happens, the Holy Spirit is called fire. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is water. But in this case, he's fire. Because that fire of God needs to come against the works of darkness, the injustice of the enemy, and burn against it and destroy it. And I believe that that's going to happen for you tonight. You have to put your faith in God and you have to trust in him. But I want to say to you again, it's time to get angry. Not at God, not even at people, but against what the enemy is busy doing in your life. God wants you to go forward. Listen, yeah, man, the plans he has for you, Jeremiah 29 verse 11, is to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope, to give you a future. And why would he give you a future if he doesn't want you to move into that future? If you're stuck right now, it's time to break the chains. Lord, we need your spirit. Lord, we need that righteous anger to come into our hearts. And we need to rise above all this rubbish. Lord, where the devil tries to keep us in the pit of despair, where he tries to keep us from going forward, we believe, Lord, that just like you came and you liberated your people in the days of old, so you still liberate your people today. We thank you, Lord, that tonight you come and move in power in this place. Holy Spirit, the word of God is yet to teach us and show us what God wants for our life. And we can see that God hates injustice. There's a lot of injustice in this room tonight. I thank you, Spirit of the living God, that you move through this place and that you set people free. I thank you that you change their life and push them into their destiny tonight. I honor you for this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Did anybody learn something tonight? Give the Lord a big hand. All right, ladies, can you help us with the offering, please?